Mizmachov, he said just not that long ago, this morning. He said, "Lamatzech Mizmor Ladav Dan Hashem Biyom." Sorry, we said this in between Ashrei and Uval Letzion. Okay, so it begins like all other Mizmoros, Lamatzech for the conductor, Mizmor Ladav, Dan Hashem, may Hashem answer you, Biyom Tzara. May Hashem answer you on the day of Tzara. Okay. No, keep apologizing. So Rav Kalman, I put you on mute by mistake. Rav Kalman, I put you on mute by mistake. You have to unmute yourself. Please unmute yourself. You could unmute, just unmute yourself. Yeah, you're on mute. I can't hear you. I put you on mute by mistake. Rav Kalman, good now.
No, I say it's lucky that we sell on Natsiach today.
What do you mean lucky?
So we can learn it.
Okay. Yan Hashem, on a day of difficulty, Yisagevcha, Shem Elokei Yaakov, may he make you strong. Lashon like a niskav. The niskav Hashem levadoi ba'yayimach, Hashem will be exalted. Yisagevcha, in this form means, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu may you prevail, may he make you victorious. The Shem, the name Elokei Yaakov. Now, what does that mean exactly? The shame? We'll have to see that. But let's do some introduction to this mizmar. There are a lot of words of introduction. Let's first maybe just see the mitzvahs of the first pasuk. Maybe we should maybe a few. We'll do a little bit of first. I don't know how to do this. Let's see right now the mitzvahs of it. The mitzvahs of the pasuk beis biyom tzarak hasher tilochem mul hoyev. We'll do the whole mizmar. We'll do the whole mizmar with the mitzvahs of it in Rashi, and then we'll go back and we'll give the introduction afterwards. And the Mepharshim afterwards. Let's run through it. So he's mispal on the day of Tzara. What is the day of Tzara? We learn a very posh, the Mitzvah David, B'kasher Tilochim, Moloev, when you go to war. Yisagevcha, Yichazek, Oizcha, may Hashem strengthen you. Okay, so we're going to touch Yisagevcha, may the shame, Elokei Yaakov, may Hashem's name, may it strengthen you to be victorious. Mitzvah Shem Elokei Yaakov, return to Lema, Kamo Shechizek Es Yaakov.
It's a mafsik, it's the Shem. That's the Shem that is a mafsik. Yisagev
Hashem,
who Elokei Yaakov.
Elokei Yaakov,
Otanu.
The Elokei Yaakov is the perush on the Shem. Let us see the mitzvahs. So he has a little bit of a drash, and he says, return to Lema, Kamo Shechizek Es Yaakov, Mul Lavan, Ve'esav, V'lo Yuch Leloi. Just like we find, that Hashem strengthened Yaakov against Lavan the Esav, v'lo yuchlu lo, they were unable to overcome him. Cain, lo yuchlu oyvecha l'cha, so to your enemies may not be able to overcome, your enemies may not be able to overcome come you. So over here is just very, you know, the very basic insight. There's nothing to do with this mizmar, is that Yaakov had two enemies. Yaakov had two major enemies in his life, and they're very, very different. Lavan and Esav. Very different approach to destroy Yaakov, and
why not Yishmael?
What?
Where's Yishmael?
Yishmael's long gone. Yishmael was the nemesis of Yitzchak. Yishmael. Well, you're saying something that is true, because Esav was meshadech with Yishmael. Esav, he married the daughter of Yishmael. So there is some truth to what you're saying. So when you're talking about Esav, Esav really.
But they were not connected in any way.
But to a degree they were, because Esav,
indirectly maybe,
Esav married. He went and he married, he
yes,
made an alliance.
That was after Yaakov had gone, right?
No, that was when he was, that was the same time. That was when he left. That was right. That was when Yaakov left to get married. At the
right.
Same time, Esav married the daughter of Yishmael.
Yeah, but
so Yaakov went to marry Rachel and Leah. Yaakov set out to get married. The time when Yaakov set out to get married, Esav in the alliance, he married Yishmael. So Rav Meir is right. Rav Meir, there is, when you talk about Esav, we're not focusing on Yishmael, but we cannot ignore that in Esav there is a connection to Yishmael.
It was never any direct contact that we know of between.
Who was dead?
Between Israel. And
Yishmael. He was dead.
Yishmael was still around when the Shidduch was made.
When they got engaged.
Yes. Were married. Or whatever it was that we did.
No, so it says in Rashi. Rashi says that the death is a deacon. Rashi. Rashi says
I understand. It was a conspiracy, but it never touched Yaakov.
Correct. Okay. In fact, he did teshuva. Yishmol did teshuva, it says. So, okay. Here, the main enemy is Esau. Now, what is the difference between, once already Rashi Mitzvus mentions, very important to point out, what exactly is the difference between the attempt of Lavan to destroy Arami Oyveravi, Bikesh Paro Legozer El Al Hasachodim? But Lavan Bikesh La'akar Esakol. What do you see that? Where do you see that Lavan was Bikesh La'akar Esakol? He said to Yaakov, Habonois binosai v'habonin bonai. What was it? Habonin bonai v'habonois binosai. When Yaakov went and he ran away from Lavan, and Lavan caught up to him, and Lavan said, why did you run away? I do not remember the psuk in my heart. Why did you run away and leave like a ganav? And you did not let me even kiss my grandchildren goodbye. Okay, you did not let them kiss. It's very interesting. Well, this week, you know, the CDC said that if you kiss somebody, that does not demand that you should be in quarantine. Okay, we've been going over here for 2 years, and Nancy Pelosi kissed Biden. So the CDC said. They said, oh, it's okay. How come now Nancy Pelosi has this corona?
That is not a sight I wish to see.
So if she has corona and she kissed him, so he has to go into quarantine. So the CDC says no, only if they're together for 15 minutes. So they said, so just because he kissed somebody, I mean, the hypocrisy is literally every day the hypocrisy is just, you could say with a straight face, it's unbelievable.
Well, a bunch of them got it.
Yeah.
So it's
just remarkable, and the only reason why is because over here, v'lo nitashtani l'nashek bonai v'liv noisai. Lavan said to Yaakov Avinu, you did not allow me l'nashek Libonai v'liv nosai. That kiss would have been the kiss of death had he kissed his grandchildren, even if he did not spend with them 15 minutes.
Wasn't Lavan right?
What?
Lavan had a point.
Lavan had a point, not necessarily.
They were his grandchildren,
but the influence, the hashpah, Chazal learned, this is the Haggadah, it's a very important point you're making. Chazal say, Bikesh Arami Oyved Ovi. Bikesh Lavan Lachar Esakol. Where do you find the Chazal contrast Lavan to Paro? Paro legozar ela al hazochorim. But Lavan was Bikesh Lachar Esakol. Where do you see the contrast? The contrast. Where do you see the contrast? So the answer is.
Lavan the turning. I have an interesting understanding of. Which I think is wrong.
what do you see the contrast?
What's worse, a person who dies or a person who suffers?
There are elements of both.
So
Elu v'elu.
What's worse?
They're both.
They become dead or killed, or they become influenced. They have.
So in the first crusade, the many Gedolei Yisrael paskind that it's better to die than to be influenced by the Goyim. The Goyim, the Christians, were coming to kill, to take the children, to baptize the children, to take them into convents, and make them into Christians, little children, they're infants. So the Gedolei Yisrael paskin, better to slaughter your own children, and instead of allowing them to be taken by the Goyim and being converted into Christians. Now today,
now that's because of the Chilul Hashem. When you factor that in, then that's what trumps,
Okay, but the bottom line is, so what do you see, however you want to understand the depth of that psak halacha, which certainly today, I don't think anyone would say anymore today, I can't imagine,
no.
I mean, in the modern world, it's a little bit different, but you do see such a principle that there are times in Jewish history where it was considered to be worse to be influenced.
A fate worse than death.
Than death. Okay, that's very hard to understand that, especially to live in the 21st century. It's very, very hard. But that's what you see. This is not them. This I'm not making this up. This is what happened.
I'm telling it's you, it's because of the Chilul Hashem. Because then they bring. See, their God doesn't help them.
Okay, fine.
So on and so forth.
Fine. So we have for Chilul Hashem. Fine. Whatever it is. All right. Anyway, this Lavan Rashi over here makes this very important point that he had two enemies. What exactly is the difference? The difference is very simple. Esav, if you were to know better, you would say that the difference is that Esav comes to attack you head on. He wants to openly destroy you. He declares war, and he's coming to destroy. Whereas Lavan, Yaakov lived with Lavan for 22 years. He lived with him for 20 years. He actually lived with him. So Lavan wanted to destroy Yaakov by being his friend. That's what you would say at face value. That Lavan tries to indirectly influence and affect the spirituality of Yaakov, whereas Esav is openly hostile, openly wants to destroy. That cannot be correct. That is incorrect. How do you know that's not correct? Because each one did the opposite. Esav said, we say to us, Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esav. When Yaakov was mispalo that he should be speared from Esav, he used two words, Miyad Ochi and Miyad Esav. Ochi, Chazal say, is sometimes Esav comes against us with brotherhood. He's very kind and gracious and nice, Ochi. And sometimes Miyad Esav becomes his belligerent. He comes outright. So you see that Esav also can be very nice and try to destroy us gently. Mitzat Sheni, Lavan, he chased after Yaakov to kill him. When Yaakov left after 20 years, he openly wanted to kill him. And Hashem appeared to him in the middle of the night and said to him, do not touch Yaakov, Mirov Yaatov. Don't do anything to Yaakov Avinu. So you see that both Lavan was belligerent, open, and Esav also, it says in the pasuk, Miyad Ochi.
We understand Esav's motivation. Oh, much it's sort of like killing the goose that laid the golden eggs. What was
the motivation?
What was his motivation?
Lavan?
For wanting to kill Yaakov.
Money. He wanted all the money. So that's really my answer. The answer is that's the answer I want to give. The real difference between the two is Esav, whether we realize it or not, is jealous. Their hatred stems from religion. Because it's about the Bechor. It all goes back to the Bechor. Even when Esav is nice to us, they used to be very religious. They used to be all about Christianity. It used to be all about religion.
What just occurred to me? You know, we talk often about replacement theology of the descendants of Esav, and maybe Esav felt replaced as the Bechor.
Absolutely. So he says, me, the can I give me? That's what they're trying to do, and their entire existence is they're trying to replace us. You're saying very good. The whole theology of Esav, the Neitzri Yeshu, is replacement theology. Why? Where does it come from? Because we replace them. They're just trying to take back. That's what's eating them up. Yaakov Avinu replaced Esav. Esav was the Bechor. Esav was really meant to be the Yerush. But Esav was a Ritzeach, and Yaakov and Rivka saw what was going on, and Yaakov bought the Bechorah from him, and Rivka made sure that the Brachos went to Yaakov. So in essence, Yaakov, you're saying very good, very deep idea, Yaakov replaced Esav. That is an absolute fact. He bought the Bechorah. Rivka made, Yitzhak wanted to give the Brachos to Esav. How are you going to deny that? Whole Parsha. And Rivka and Yaakov took it. So Esav, the rest of his existence in this world, is trying to take it back, to replace us. You Jews have expired, and now Machzer HaTorah LeYoshna. That is Christianity in a nutshell. Excellent. That's a very profound word. It was kedai to come today just to learn that, what Michal said. Sometimes you wonder, what did you do this whole day? What was the purpose of waking up today? What benefit was there today? And that alone was worth the whole day. That's a very, very profound insight. But if you look throughout history, when we have enemies, we have Esav and Yaakov, we have to appreciate, it's a very important point in the Haggadah, an important point in this pasuk, is Mitzudah says Yaakov has two enemies, Esav and Lavan. At face value, the average person will tell you, what's the difference? Esav tries to kill you with gentleness. Gentleness, Yaakov is living in the home of Lavan. He's living in the home of Lavan. And Lavan is a swindler. Lavan is an anti-religious person. Lavan thinks he knows better. And Lavan is trying, oh, come for dinner, sit down by me, marry my daughter. And by being close to this person, it will just naturally rub off his apikorsis, his cruelty, and destroy the sanctity of Yaakov Avinu. Esav, throughout history, they have been belligerent. They have tried openly. The Holocaust is Esav. The Crusades is Esav. The pogroms, the Chmelnytsky massacres is Esav. Esav, where the czars in Russia, okay, all the things that took place in Jewish history, it's all Esav, and it's all this belligerent, open hostility to destroy the Jewish people. But again,
and in between there was assimilation, you know.
Oh, so that's what I'm telling you. Is that this idea is not correct, because exactly what you just said, Jews have suffered in America. You can argue even more.
Not just America. When Europe,
the whole world, the whole world, the Haskalah, the whole world.
The Enlightenment in Europe.
Exactly. You can argue.
Jews were given citizenship.
Napoleon, exactly. You come out of the ghetto, and then you can argue that more harm was done to the Jews in times of peace than in times of war. In America, you know, how many Jews are there in the world? There are 15 million Jews. How many of them don't even know they're Jewish? Probably 10 million, who knows?
They don't know they're Jewish. How do we know they're Jewish?
We know, because we do know. We have records, and we have statistics. But they couldn't care less. They know, they don't know. It doesn't mean, how do you know it doesn't mean anything? Because
the
they're intermarriage.
The largest Jewish group is unaffiliated.
Unaffiliated. So this is a very frightening thing. Now you can't compare, you know, you can't be foolish to say, you know, the Holocaust. 6 million Jews murdered, brutally murdered, tortured. I mean, one Jew murdered, to a certain degree, carries an enormous more weight than thousands and assimilating. Because assimilation, you did it your own free will. No one did it to you. You did it yourself. So I'm not chas v'shem trying to compare, trying to say something foolish and say that in times of peace, there was more damage than in times of genocide. That's a foolish thing to say.
Right.
But
you can't judge more or less.
Right. And I'm not being foolish to say that. But I just want to just look at it from. Take out the criminal. Take out the criminal element, the act of murder, the act of pain. Put that aside, if it's possible to put that aside, which probably is not. But look at the numbers. Here in America, Western civilization is a blessing, freedom. But not everyone knows how to deal with freedom. And unfortunately, Achein Bnei Yisrael, where are they? How many millions of Jews throughout history are just gone because of assimilation? That's Miyad Ochi. Miyad Ochi. Then we have Miyad Esav. 6 million Jews gone. And it's not just 6 million Jews, the repercussions. The repercussions that linger on because of what happened. I mean, you can tell me that all the assimilation is because of Miyad Ochi. All right, who knows? And anyway, the point I'm trying to make over here is that even though at face value you would say that Lavan tried to destroy us with gutens. Is that how you say it in Yiddish? He tried to destroy us, gutskeit, with being nice to us. And Esav generally tried to destroy us with belligerence. That is not true. Because Esav has destroyed the Jewish people also, besides the rishus of the Holocaust and Chol HaMilv Malav, with gutskeit. And Lavan also was very willing to destroy the Jewish people with belligerence. Because Lavan ran after Yaakov and wanted to kill him and kill his own children and grandchildren. And the only reason why he did not was because the Malach came at night and said to him, "Don't you dare." And Lavan confessed. He admitted the next day that Yesh le'el yadi, la'sois lochem ra, there is power in my hands to do harm to you, which in essence means that's what I was planning to do to you. But Hashem came to me in the middle of the night and told me I should not do it. So I'm not. So you see that Esav is willing to destroy, the Lavan is willing to destroy us with belligerence, and Esav, the proof is in the pudding. He has done enormous harm to the Jewish people. Miyad achi. So then the question comes back. What then is the difference between Lavan and Esav? What is the essence of the difference between them? And the answer is, Esav's primary goal is religion. Even though we may not see it, but subconsciously, deep down, it's all about religion. It's not about money. It all is rooted in the Bechoira. It's rooted in the Birchas Yitzchak. Let me finish the idea. You'll prove me wrong. I'm willing to be proven wrong. No problem. But let me finish the idea. Esav, the history of Esav, they see a religious Jew. They see an Oyved Hashem, and it just eats them up. It just they burn with jealousy to see a Jew, whether he's Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox. That's like, that takes the cake. You see someone, an authentic Oyved Hashem, they can't live with it. They cannot live with it, and there's a burning hatred, and that's one of the variants. The variants, just like in Corona, there are all these variants. That's one of the variants of anti-Semitism. Lavan, the Chol HaNilvim Olav, couldn't care less about religion. Couldn't care less. It's about money. It's all about money. Lavan, everything about Lavan is this insatiable desire for money. There's a sickness in this world. Just gashmius, gashmius, gashmius. America, to a certain degree, is a synthesis of Esav and Lavan. And that's why he changed his wages 100 times and this and that, all things about money. And the one that really gets credit to reject this was, that was Rachel, we always talk about it, it's Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah said to Yaakov, we're with you. You want to leave? What do we have now? Father, we're willing to reject and give it all up. Give up all the money. They're willing to give up all the money. It's a very different approach. And it's both belligerence and it's with gutzkeit, money. In other words, when you live in a country and they give you money, here's more money, more money, more money, more money, they give you money.
Materialism.
When they must be, no, on the one hand, yeah, give money, bribe money, bribe money, they give money. When you give someone money, you can do wonders, wonders. Hopefully one day there'll be big investigations of what went on during Corona. It already is already coming out, how all these newspapers, all these new things, new revelations coming out, and clergy were given enormous amount of money. Enormous amount of money to promote something that people know nothing about. No one's a doctor. Clergy are not doctors. Priests. Now, I'm not even going to talk about the front people, what went on by the front people, but it's already coming out in the news. The government gave who knows how many hundreds of millions of dollars to influential religious leaders to promote the vaccine. Gesund hate! I got nothing against the vaccine. If the doctor says it's good, it's good. What am I? I know I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. Okay? What do I know? But to go and tell people who otherwise would say, go to your doctor. Go to a priest. Go to a priest. What should we do? So go to your doctor. Doctor says, take it, take it. Gesund hate. What do you want from me? I should go put myself in the shoes of something that I know nothing about and tell you what to do. It's a good, the doctor says it's good, so leave me alone, go do what you do.
And they get a cut.
Oh, they sure, oh, I'm going to even get me started. All of this now is coming out, there's all news, what's going on. I'm not over here promoting anti-vaxxer, I'm far from me to get into that field. But when you give someone money, you own them. You own them, Shaykha, in every dimension. You give someone money, you own them. You own them, you see, it's a very scary thing. And that's Lavan. That's Lavan. Lavan is bribing you.
Okay.
Yeah?
I want to go back to an earlier point you made about the hatred is rooted in religion. It's not. Religion is what's used to build around rejection. That Esau feels rejected by his father at the time of the brachos, Amalek gets it, it's transmitted to Amalek. It's transmitted forever. It's that idea of rejection. And therefore, they have to promote in their religion to build that in that we were rejected by God.
As we said before, I accept that fully, but it's not a contradiction.
Religion is a cover for all this other stuff.
I hear what you said. I fully hear what you're saying. But I think there's another dimension. It's not a contradiction to what you're saying. What you're saying is 100% true. But in addition to what you have said, there is another element. You cannot deny the fact that there is a religious tone. There is a religious flavor in their anti-Semitism. It's true. It's rejection, 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 that we replace them. Yes, yes, yes. But that's not, there are many layers. There are many layers, there are many dimensions, there are many flavors of anti-Semitism. And when the Goyim see Jews living a life, a religious life, which they perceive, they're not stupid, they're very clever, and they sense the MS, the satisfaction of an Orthodox Jew, of living a life, of what kind of life? That is, they're jealous of the religion. It's not just we've been rejected. That's also true. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. You can't ignore the fact that there's a religious element. History proves itself. Look at the Christians. Look what went on for the last 2,000 years. The Esav has a vendetta, and part of that is a jealousy that of our religion. And it's something which they could have and should have had. And Esav sold the Bechor, Yitzhak gave the brachas to Yaakov. So it's not just pure rejection. Oh, I didn't get a job. I want to be a computer programmer. There was a great opening in Google, and I have all the qualifications. And someone came along and they pushed me out they pushed me out. It's not just about rejection.
I don't want to belabor the point.
All right, fine. Let's go back to it.
I just wanted to say, you know, I always thought of Yeshua, the rejected me, is the ultimate insolence of love.
Say it again?
Because Yeshua El Yodi, La Sosi Mochem Ro, was the ultimate insolence. Because what he's saying is, God told me not to do it, but I still can do it. If I really want, I really wanted to, but I'm a good citizen, I'm a God-fearing person, and that's why I'm not going to do it. But I could do it. Even
that is, this fits the narrative of Lavan.
I could still do it. Yeshli El Yodi, I have the power.
He's morally just.
Right.
Lavan said that. That's the typical thing Lavan would say, because right. Lavan is always saying, because Lavan is always is always a swindler, always the swindler, always the liar, the swindler.
Can't stop me.
We live in a world today that I really think like in Western civilization, what is the malchus of Western civilization? You know what it is? It is the synthesis of Lavan and Esav. That's what it is. We live in very dangerous times. This Mitzvah Stav is touching upon a very, very big thing. Over here it says, we say this every single day. Every single day we say this after Ashrei, before Ovo Letzion. L'matzeach mizmor l'David ya'ancho Hashem b'yom tzara. May Hashem answer you. On a day of tzara, yisagevcha shem Elokei Yaakov. May the God of Yaakov, Hashem, who is Hashem? We're defining Hashem. Hashem, who is the God of Yaakov? May He strengthen you. Why are we calling here it Elokei Yaakov? Why are we calling it here Elokei Yaakov? Mitzudos David. Because Yaakov had two enemies, two very, very different enemies. Who are the two different enemies? Shame, look at Yaakov, who is son of Loimar, Kimoshe Chizek es Yaakov, Mol, Lavan ve'esav, Velo Yuchlu lo. He was unable to overcome him. Okay, Rabbis, I ask everyone with the greatest respect that, just in general, we have to try to keep it to a. It's very good. The give and take, is priceless. It's what makes the share, but it has to be done with chokhmah. And everyone over here is kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevanim, kulanu yodim es ha-Torah. But still at all, Chayavim L'Saper, we have to have a conversation. Sipur is one person says something and then someone else says something. It has to be done in an oifan muhudar. So I kindly ask everyone to use your brilliant minds to say it at the right time. Mark, timing is everything. Okay. And even Tamari has chidushim to tell us. Not even. Tamari also has the right thing to say. Okay. Let's go right. We have over here Yaakov. Shem Elokei Yaakov. We have Shem Elokei Yaakov. Ritzon Eloimah Kemoi Shechizek Es Yaakov Mul Lovin Be'esav Lo Yuchlo Yikein Lo Yuchlo Oivecha Lucha. May your enemies not be able to overcome you. The Mitzvah David spells out this very important principle. There are two enemies. There's an enemy called Yaakov and Esav and Lavan. They're very different. I know Ramachol does not agree with me, but nevertheless, I still said it, that Esav's primary goal is, okay, you want to say rejection, we'll say rejection, and also there's a religious tone. Whereas Lavan is an Ish Gashmi. Religion is not a very big proponent of Gashmias. It's not. You can't say
in theory.
You got it. You got it. It's not the ideal thing to have, you know, to aspire to a wedding that cost $1 million. To have like a simcha, to go away for Pesach and spend $500,000. It's not the goal. Not that it's usur, not that it's wrong. There are people that Hashem has given bracha and they are entitled, and maybe they should. But that's not what you teach a child in cheder, in a yeshiva, that the goal is to grow up and you should be a billionaire and you should be able to go away for Pesach and spend $2 million on your Pesach vacation. That's not the goal. That's not what it is. Lavan, that was his goal. That was Lavan's goal, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Lavan's goal was to go away with a Strimel and a Bekasha. That's what it wasn't. Lavan wasn't an anti-religious person. Lavan's goal is to go away with his Strimel and Bekasha to some type of event you've never seen before, and money. And ethics and morals, they're only good when they serve to enhance the simcha. Not in its own right. Not because these are actual virtues. They're just something necessary evil. It's a necessary evil. You need to make a life for yourself, and the life you have to have some type of a, you know, religious service. If you're not going to have religious service, it's not going to work. But that's not the ikkar. The ikkar is the money. The money is the ikkar. That is Lavan. Lavan tries to destroy the sanctity of Yaakov, where these are good things, just a matter of priorities. We live in America. I believe this to be very true today. We live in America. We have this new concept called Western civilization, which has been around. Amichal, how long is Western civilization called a thing? How many years?
Since the Greeks.
No.
Yes.
Come on. That, can't say that. Well, Western, what we call Western civilization.
Early.
How would you define? We have to go call up my cousin who
it's derived from the Greeks and the Romans.
I know, but there's a today when you say to the average person in the street the term Western civilization, what do they think? I'll tell you what I think. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think about money, and a little bit of Christianity, a little bit. I think about like a synthesis of the pursuit of money with an open society. With a little bit of religion, just a little bit of Christian religion, a little bit. That concept, if you go back, let's say, I'm not a student of history, so I can't say. But if you go back, further back, money for the common man. I mean, of course, the Christianity is thoroughly corrupt, and the church stole everyone's money. We all know that. Okay, it's for them, it's all about money. But it doesn't appear from a very, very, very superficial study of history is that going back, let's say, 1,000 years for sure, maybe I'm wrong, is that money was the main thing. There was religion, and you make a parnasa, and then there were people out there in the world that don't care for religion, and they just care about money. There was a separation. Power is money. You're right, power. There was a Lavan, and there was an Esav. The church was Esav. No, the church stole everyone's money. The church, they were filthy rich. they was all about money by then. Okay, but that wasn't in the open. That was, you know, still a hate. They all wanted the money. But the church, it wasn't about money. Then there were pagans or people that don't care for religion. There was money, 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 money. There was a separation of the two. Today, in America and in the world, people that embrace Western civilization, it would appear to me there is a synthesis of a Christian religion and the pursuit of money in its own right. Okay, the dollar bill, the dollar, it says in God we trust.
America is different than the rest.
America leads the way. America's influence is all over the world, even today.
America is different than Europe. Notice how everybody who takes America seriously talks about the Judeo-Christian ethic. You notice how
Yes. We're
always included in there?
No, when they say Judeo, they have a whole different meaning of that. They don't mean us. They mean they do. Judeo means them. They don't mean us. America leads the way. There is a synthesis today. The dollar bill is the greatest example. It says in the dollar bill, in every single piece of currency of the United States, halavai, it shouldn't go away, in God we trust. On the money. On the money. So what is that? In God we trust is Esav. The dollar bill, the value is lavan. It's lavan. The dollar bill has two elements to it. Value and in God we trust. In God we trust is Esav. The dollar is lavan. And what are they all synthesized together? Today we're in the greatest danger. Yaakov Avinu, when he lived his life, he dealt with Esav. Then he dealt with lavan. And then he dealt with Esav Nachamal. He made a gal. I'm not going to your territory anymore. I'm never going back to you. Don't worry. Will you stay where you are? I'll stay where I am. I'm going to go back now and fight with Esav. There were two completely different enemies in two different times. Today, the barriers, the wall has fallen. The gal is no longer there. And everyone's all over the place. And there's a synthesis today in this world, especially in Western civilization, of Esav and Lavan. And when you say this every single day, it's not a coincidence. Ya'anecha Hashem, you wake up in the morning, you have early daven good, and you come to this pasuk, Ya'anecha Hashem b'yom tzara. Today we got a big tzara. You know why I got a big tzara? Because we have no tools. Even our ancestors did not deal with the situation that we have today. Yaakov, he dealt with Esav. He dealt with Lavan, he dealt with Esav. He never had to deal with them together. And we today, Yisagevcha, may shame Elokei Yaakov, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthen you, who is the God of Yaakov. Just like Yaakov was able to overcome Esav and Lavan, so too we need to overcome Esav and Lavan in a more potent and violent form, because they have merged and synthesized into one. Ramachal, you don't agree with me?
May I have an offer and another explanation?
Yes.
Because I see here a tamafsik there, after the shem, for some reason. But I have a different name. Yisagev Hashem Elohe Yaakov. Matai Yaakov b'tzara, yetaneu Hashem yom tzara, when he is Yaakov, when he is low. Everybody steps on him. However, Hashem changed his name to Israel. Yisagev Hashem, he gave you a name, another name, a great name, Israel. Who gave you the name? Elohe Yaakov. The same God that was with you beyond Sarah, when you were down, he's going to raise you and Nikalom did not Israel.
So you're saying that shame, Israel. So are you saying that the word shame alludes to Yisrael?
Israel.
And Elokei Yaakov.
He gave you a great name.
Very good. I like what you're saying very, very much. We got to write this down. It's a very profound idea. That in Galus, we look like Yaakov. We look like the Okev, the heel. And we're vulnerable. The Goyim are ready to step and pound on us.
Yeah.
But they don't realize.
Because we're
vulnerable. We're weak and vulnerable, we're just dust, like the Okev. But the truth is, there's an invisible, camouflaged name that's upon us, Yisrael. And the Goyim don't see it, but we know it. And that Yisrael is what's going to allow us to prevail over our enemies. Beautiful. I really like it. The word shame is a reference, a code word for Yisrael, the Tsar. We will prevail. Yaakov is what the world sees. The world sees that we are the Jew, that we are a nation, Elokei Yaakov. But there's a shame that Hashem put upon us, which captures Hashem's name, Yisrael Kel. Hashem's name is that, and that's our real name, and that is what really gives us the energy, the power to succeed and overcome. It's a very beautiful idea.
Chidushe
Rabbi
Kalman. Nobody says it. Yeah.
You say it. You say it. Toiras Chaim. Excellent. Beautiful bar. Beautiful, really. Okay. Now let's take a look over here at what it says over here in Rashi. Rashi, we did this. Rashi says, Yan cho yan chashab yom sara. You know, ha-mizmar hazeh al shem sho yeshulech es yoya vi es kol yeshulam l'chama. Now this mizmar, Rashi is giving us some background to this mizmar. There's really a very important malbum that it's maybe we'll do right after the malbum. Let's just do the Rashi first. That this mizmar is describing an event. An event, sho yeshulech es yoya vi es kol yeshulam l'chama v'hu cho yoymer bi yushulayim v'mispal alayhem. There are many interpretations as when this mizmar was composed. That's a very important thing when you learn a mizmar. When was it composed? By who was it composed? In reference to what was it composed? So Rashi says the chiddush. Most of the mefarshim do not say this, and they say this was written when after David was retired. He wasn't retired as melech. He was the melech. He called the shots, but his soldiers prevented him from ever going out to battle. There was a very dangerous battle. When he almost Yishbi Binoiv, when he came in contact with the brother of Goliath, the son of Orpah, and Yishbi Binoiv was also the son of Orpah, and Yishbi Binoiv came across David, and Yishbi was a giant. He was a giant and he was extremely mighty. David didn't stand a chance before him, and David came within a hair's breadth of dying, of being killed. And it was a miracle, Lamala. Miderech Hatev that Hashem speared him. The people were frightened that they almost lost their melech, and they all take a shvua that this man David, our King David, will never go to war again. He will sit home in the palace and he's not going to go. And David was outnumbered. He had no choice but to obey the shvua of his men. So David stayed home. There was a major battle, and David had no choice but to stay home, and his men went to fight. So what did David do? I'm just going to sit home and do nothing. If my men are fighting, I'm going to say Tehillim. I'm going to pray. And this mizmar becomes for us the ultimate Teichachas Musar. Because today, in Eretz Yisrael, whether you're a Tzioni, or whether you are an anti-drafter, you don't hold from the Gius, the bottom line is there are people out there that are putting their lives on the line for us every single second. There are Chayolei Tzva Hagana Yisrael who are out there every single second in dangerous locations and dangerous missions dealing with people that want to destroy Klal Yisrael. And here also in America, if there was no Chayolei Tzva Hagana in Eretz Yisrael, a Jew in America could not walk down the street. Everyone knows that. You'd not be able to walk down Avenue M with arrogance and double park and go and spit upon, walk into a non-Jewish store without a mask, if there was not the Chayolei Tzva Hagana Yisrael. That's the way it is. Everyone knows that. I said the way it is. You would not be able to walk into a store that says, don't you dare walk in without a mask, and you from Jew, you walk in without a mask, and they don't say anything to you. It's because they're afraid of the Jews. Why are they afraid of the Jews? They're afraid of the Jews. So, and who's this? Who's doing this for us? There are people who are out there risk their lives for us. The very least you can do is you can pray for them. Okay, you're living in America, or you're not in service. You're not in service. The very least is you should daven. Who davened for them? David. David was not allowed. He was not eligible for the draft. His people told him, we don't want you in the army. We don't want you. We gave him a patur. So what did David do? He sat home and he davened. Rashi, HaMizmar Azeh Al Shem Shoyah Shalech Es Yoyav, he sent Yoyav, V'yes Kol Yisrael LaMilchama, all the Jews LaMilchama, V'hu Hoya Omed B'Yerushalayim, and he stood in Yerushalayim, U'mispalel Aleihen. How many Jews today? There was a horrible terrorist attack in Tel Aviv yesterday.
Yeah.
Two people died.
Three
died already. Oh, yeah, right.
Rachmana
Litzlan, Baruch Dayan Ha'emes. Three people died. Three of Achenu B'nei Yisrael died. And others, how many more are critically injured, whose lives have been changed? All the people that ran away, they've been terrorized. You see the videos of the people that were literally terrorized. And that terror will be with them the rest of their lives. And then there's a man, the whole Israeli army has been mobilized to hunt down. They got him, right? They already got him.
Yeah.
They got him. They hunt down. How many people now? All of these probably thousands of soldiers have been mobilized to hunt down the murderer. Every single one of them is at a grave risk. Because they're dealing with a person that has shown that he's willing to kill, and they come in contact with a police officer or a soldier, they wouldn't hesitate to kill him. And now these are, they're out. So how many of us have stopped to say Tehillim for the police and the army that are...
There happened to be a Hebraim of Chabad in the Blumenfeld Stadium in Yishmak in Tel Aviv. They were locked in and they also said Tehillim for
the... So good for them. Kol HaKavod, we should learn from them. How many of us all over the world used to look at the news, knew when are they going to get them already, when are they going to get them already? You sit around... drinking a cup of coffee. When does the army, the military, the police going to find the Shin Bet, going to root them out? Every single one of these people that's searching is in grave danger. So what do we do here? Nothing. David says, pick yourself up and say at least the Mizmar Tehillim. That these people are in very great danger. Okay, so the Hamizmar Hazes, who are you going to be Shlaim, and Shnemar, Toiv Ki Tia Lanu Meir Lazar. David said, Toiv, it is good, ki tiyalan. Well, they said to him, this is what the people said to David. When David was in danger, Yishvi, you know, they said to David, David, you're not going to war anymore. You almost died. And we need you as the Melech, we need your sanctity. Better, ki tiyalan, me'ir lazor. Unbelievable pasuk. Unbelievable pasuk. This is what they share on the news. Every time they said like this, the prime minister should say to the whole nation, there are 7 million Jews. We have here about 1,000 people doing the dirty work for you. All of you 7 million people, Toiv, ki tiyeh lanu me'ir la'azar. If every one of the 7 million people in this country would say one mizmar tehillim for our chayolim that are going to find the terrorists, we'll find them very fast. Toiv, it is good, ki tiyeh lanu. All of you people shall be for us Meir, from the comfort of your home and from the comfort of your couch and dining room table, Lazar, to assist us in what? In prayer. When someone is fighting for you, the very least you can do in the comfort is to pray. That's this mizmah. And we say this every single day. Every single day. L'matzeach mizmah is what you should be mechaven. I would assume, according to Rashi, this day kavana. When you say every day Ashra, you come to Avol Tzion, and now you say this mizmah. Yan Hashem b'yom tzara. You should think that you know there are chayolim out there amongst the Jewish people that are putting themselves in great danger. They're in locations. They're serving these young boys that are serving. What are we doing? Nothing. We're eating ice cream. What are we doing? The very least is we should do what David did. When David was not able to go to war, David at least said to Hillel for them that they should be successful, they should be safe. And here's what Yan Hashem beyond Sarah. That's what Rashi says. If not for David, if not for David's prayers, Yoav, the Tsar Tzva, he was the general, the Tsar Tzva, he would never have been able to do anything. Yoav's success was not in his skill as a five-star general, it was only due to the siyata d'shmaya of the prayers of David HaMelech. Okay, this is mamish.
What does it mean that it's Kol Yisrael Muhammad? Why did it have to say Kol Yisrael?
Hamizmazal Yisrael Shoyeshlech as Yoav. The whole it seems the whole this seems it was a Mechames Mitzvah. A Mechames Mitzvah. Every single person has to go to war.
Right.
So it must be that we're dealing over here with the Melchames Mitzvah. Every single person went out to Melchama. The only one that did not go out to Melchama was David HaMelech. David was chalishing to go and lead. The people didn't let him. They tied him down. They locked him up in solitary confinement in a prison. Why? Because the last time David went to war, he came that close to dying. He only survived because of a miracle. And they said to themselves, what would have happened if David died? We're finished. Because there's no one that can replace David as the our Melech. No one. We need him. We need him alive, and we'll have to do the war. And they did not allow him to go. And I think it says they took a shavua. They did extreme, because David wouldn't want to listen to them. David would say, I don't care what you have to say, I'm going to go fight. So they did extreme things to prevent David from fighting. So David said, no, the very least, let me compose for Klal Yisrael this mizmar that everyone should learn from me, that when you can't go fight, the very least you should pray for those people that are putting their lives on the line for you. Shem Elokei Yaakov, Shevtichoi Belechtoi Licharon. What does this mean? Shevtich Hashem promised him when he went to Charon, V'shamar Hav Tochosoi L'kach Nemar Elokei Yaakov. Rashi is saying something very different than what we learned in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos did not take what it says in Rashi. He took from other commentators. He totally ignored Yaakov. He basically ignored, but I don't know, I shouldn't say, but he's saying a whole different approach. Yaakov Avinu was He went to Bethel. Yaakov Avinu, he went to get married. His parents told him, go to Lavan, find yourself a nice Jewish girl. And what happened? He took a detour. He went to Beis Medrash of Aver for 14 years. And then after 14 years, he went to Lavan. On the way, he stopped over at Har Hamariah. It's a machlokes where really he stopped over. Har Hamariah. And he davened. And then he woke up in the morning, he had a dream. And what was in the dream? He saw the Malachi HaShoreis, Oilim V'yardim, the Sulam, the ladder. And he had the Malachi HaShoreis. He woke up and he realized, Manoira HaMokoim HaZeh, Ein Zeh Kiyim Beis Elokim V'zeh Shar HaShemayim, Vayidar Yaakov Neder Lemar, Im Yihye Elokim Imodi Ushmarani, He made a neder. Hashem, if you help me, I will be loyal to you. And Hashem said yes. Hashem visited him. Hashem promised. Hashem said to him. Hashem did say. I don't remember all the psukim. Mayevsky will know all the psukim inside out. But Hashem there in that section made a haftocha to Yaakov Avinu. Do not worry. I will take care of you. You will be okay. And Hashem kept his word. Hashem kept the promise to Yaakov Avinu when he went to Lavan to get married. And therefore we are reminding Hashem. History repeats itself. Just like you were faithful to Yaakov, you promised to protect him and you did and he survived, so to please protect us, be faithful to us and protect us on our journey in Golos, because our journey in Golos to love and is really just Ma'itzav, a similar banim, is similar to Yaakov Avinu traveling to Haran to get married and make a parnasa. V'shamar, that's why L'kach Nemar Elokei Yaakov, we draw from that. Now let's see over here what it says in the Malbim. It's a very important Malbim. He explains over here what's really going on over here in this Mizmar. It's a very powerful Malbim. Now he just goes through the Malbim has his head on his shoulders. He likes to put everything in the proper context. Let's Aleph. La Mikishu Divrei HaMizmar V'inyanam Moira Shenoyset Al Ma'amin Govi on page 178, Pasuk Aleph. The connection of this mizmar, the yon of Moirish and Noisad al Mulcham Shaylo David in Ezer Rochik Mirushalayim, Vahoyashon Basakono. He has an entirely different interpretation. He says a lot of things over here. But his first interpretation is entirely different than what it says in Rashi. He learns that David went to war. David, indeed, he was in war. He was fighting. And it seems that it was a small time battle. And most of Klal Yisrael were at home, and he went with a small group of people to fight a battle. And then what happened? He got into a lot of trouble, and he sent back a message emergency message, SOS. Mm. He sent back a message, I am in enormous trouble. Send me a SWAT team to extract me from this sakana. One more time. He says over here, Mikisho Divri Hamizma Vinyanav Moira Shinoisad, it was established, Al Muhammad Shahidul David in Aizerachik, Mirushalayim. He went on a small battle, some enemy in Yerushalayim somewhere, Vahayasham Basakana. He was in grave danger, and no one even knew. He sent back a message to the people in Yerushalayim, come help me, I'm gonna be killed. Urshabo Hashmuel Litzion. Who was Mispalal? Not David. They called the kol kore. Everyone come to the Beis Medrash to be mispalo. His spalu shamalav v'gam sholchu chayel azaros. They did two things. They were mispalo. They right away, everyone, they got in the Beis Medrash, they started saying tilim, and they sent out a SWAT team. They sent out what is the most elite troop? The elite troop in the Israeli army, the Giloni,
Golani,
the Golani unit. What's it called?
Matkal.
Somehow, everyone is always a member of this unit, and all of the stories they have, the inspirational stories. He was part of the Golani unit. How come everyone is always part of that unit? For some reason, in all of the inspirational stories, every single soldier is part of that unit. Fine. Hispalu shamalav v'gam sholchu chayel azaros. They sent out a unit. Ulam be'ez holchu achayel noida lochem kidav noisha al pines. When they arrived, he said to them, you know, I could have used you about an hour ago. You know, you're a little too late. The only reason why I'm alive is because Hashem saved me, not you. You know, I see that the army over here, what they really, or we have to adjust the budget of the army. I don't think it's kedai that we should pay so much money of NIS. The new Israeli shekel allocate too many millions because you guys, you didn't show up on time. All your technology didn't help me, because if I would have waited for you, I would have been dead. And the only reason why I'm alive is because Hashem came to my aid. Al pines, but he told the army, listen, I'm alive, but the enemy is still alive also. So once you're here already, do me a favor, finish the job. Mop up the mess over here. Wipe him out. So they went to wipe out the enemy, the ones that were there already. David thought he could do it himself. He almost died. That was the miracle. He's alive. But now he told the army, so you finish up the job. When the army went to fight, they realized all of our weapons and technology and chachma is not going to help us in this battle. This battle is over our pay grade. So they were misfalal on the battlefield. Could you imagine this? They were misfalal, and they miraculously survived, defeated the enemy. So over here he writes the Malbim. The Malbim only lived. It's very bold. The Malbim. The Malbim only lived like what 200 years ago, even less. His mistama. It was during this milchama, which took place 3,000 years ago. The Malbim had all figured out exactly which battle this Maisa had. Uchemeduma, Mistama. You know, like you know, you're talking about over here, an Israeli general today telling you what happened yesterday. He's telling you the Malbim who lived 150 years ago, telling you what happened 2,500 years ago. This specific battle is most hilarious. Uchemeduma, Shayezeb Mulchemes Polishtim, Sheyoav David. David was very tired. He's saying this was the Mulchemes Nish Yishri Benoit. See, this is totally not like Rashi. Rashi says that the Mizmah was composed after Yishvi Benoit, after the Ma'aseh of Yishvi Benoit, when they made a decision to retire David. There was another battle, and David was a spell for the people who were fighting. The Malam says, no, this was the battle when it all happened. In the Melchemes Yishvi Benoit, David almost died, and they came to rescue him, and it was too late because David survived, and he told the army, so you finish off the battle. And they go take a look at what's going on. They say, we're not going to be able to do this. So they daven, and miraculously they were able to succeed, and they conquered Yishri Benoiv. She Yoav David, the Yishri Benoiv Amar LaHakoyis. So Yishri Benoiv wanted to kill David. Vayazor loy Avishai ben Tsruya. And miraculously, Avishai ben Tsruya, one of David's men, one of his companions, his generals, Vayaches HaPelishti, Vayim Yisehu, Oz then Nishbu Anshe David Lema Lo Seitzu Itanul Muhammad. That was the trigger when they retired David. V'sham Mivoar Shahay Elohem Achakach Oyn Milchama B'Noy V'Asher Nitzchay. Then there was another battle. That's a continuation. After David miraculously survived, there was still work to do to wipe these people out for good, to clean out their nest. V'Yesar Ina Muhammad Hazoyz Berach Hazal. Now here comes the Gemara. This is very important what it says now in the Imam. So the Imam already has to define what we're talking about. And now when you know that background, now you can break up this mizmor that you say every single day in davening into three parts, into three critical sections. Umizmor ze nechlok l'shloisha chalokim. Aleph, hatfila shespalalu oz al David. The first words of this mizmor, section A, is when they received the Morse code back at the home base in Yerushalayim that David is in grave danger. And David it's imminent, he's going to be killed. So what did they do in the command center? They said, Rabbi Isai, we're going to say Tehillim now for our general, our Melech. And the people said about David, Ya'ancha Hashem b'yom tzara. That's why it's much more precise than what Malm says. May Hashem answer you. They're not describing themselves. The people are sitting in the home base, the command center, and they got the message that David's in danger, and they sent out a SWAT team, but the SWAT team is not going to get there so fast. It takes time to get there. In the meantime, what were they doing? Ya'ancha Hashem b'yom tzara. I wonder, when they took out Bin Laden, they had the famous picture. That was photoshopped by the Haredim. They took out Hillary Clinton. Remember that whole scandal, the whole fiasco?
Yeah.
Okay, they showed there that photo op when they were taking down Bin Laden.
Same situation.
And they sent down two helicopters, two Black Hawk helicopters. It was an extremely tense moment. Okay, it took time. It took time, and they were all sitting there doing nothing. The President of the United States and the Vice President and all the whole cabinet and all the military leaders are sitting there in the room just watching all the screens that are set up, but they can't do anything. They're just listening and watching. Did they say Tehillim? Wouldn't that have been the correct thing to do? I'm not joking. If this was... And I'm saying is, if this was the same thing, you know, there are attacker stories. I don't remember them. There are, in fact, exactly I don't remember all the details of which story, that story, but there are indeed where Israel, when they bombed Iraq, the nuclear reactor, when they went on these extremely dangerous missions, and it's exactly the same, a situation room with a live feed, whether it was video or audio, to the command center and the generals and the prime minister and his people, they're sitting around the table, just listening, tense moments. And I don't remember which one it was. They said to him.
I think it was Begin when he sent them to bomb Osirik in Iraq. Abiner writes it. He called in Abiner. He says, I want you to write three letters. One letter if it's a failure, one letter if it's a success, and the third letter for the parents, I think. And he locked himself up.
There was some very famous, they said to Hillel. They were listening to the live feed of a very dangerous, critical mission, and Imamish said to Hillel. It's unbelievable. You have to know which exact story it was. But just try to picture. This is something which we relate to. Everyone saw that picture a million times in the Situation Room. This is exactly what it says here. There's no difference. This is exactly, the history repeats itself. It's exactly the same. David is now in a critical mission. He's fighting with Yishvi Benoif. There's a live feed. A message comes back. David is in grave danger. He's about to die. They send out a SWAT team. They're all sitting around. And what are they doing? This is the pasuk. This is the tension. Ya'ancha Hashem b'yom tzara. The people in the situation room, they said this pasuk. May Hashem, may He save you b'yom tzara. That goes on until pasuk dal. Yisagev Hashem lo keyakov. That goes on to the next pasuk. The pasuk, they said, Yishlach Ezrecha mikodesh, umitzion yisodeka, yizkar kol mincha yisecha, v'yoloscho yidash nesela. Period. Okay? That's it. This is what they said in the situation room, listening to a live feed of the Sakana David Zim. Part two is, Chelek Beis, Ma'anei Adas HaMeshoirim, the response of the assembly of the singers, Eish Shamu Shenimla Dov Min HaSakana. They get a message.
word comes back, the eagle has landed. Word comes back, David is safe. Success. We come there, they get a message that David is out of Sakana. So now they break out in applause. Okay, they break out in applause, and that goes from Pasuk Hey, from Pasuk, from Pasuk Dalit through Pasuk Vav. They applause. So this was a response of joy. Okay, the next few psukim is the response of the people. They are applauding the success of the army of the miracle that David survived. Chela Gimel. That only takes into Pasuk Zion. What's Pasuk Zion begin? What are the words of Pasuk Zion? Ato yodati ki yoshi Hashem l'shichoi. Ma'anei roish ha-meshem ha-mah she-nitzu ha-chayil achakaches ha-mulchama she-nitzu b'cherev v'chanis rak m'shem Hashem. That's the next part. Phase 2. Phase 2 was they arrive, word gets back and says, David is alive, he's safe. And now what? We give you orders to clean up the mess. Mop up the mess. Go and obliterate the enemy. And they proceed, and it's a dangerous mission. And they succeed. And then word comes back to the command center, success. Double success. David survived, and the people that we sent have succeeded in wiping them out at very grave danger. And they've survived. Let's give Shevach V'Hoidah to Hashem for this second miracle, and that starts from Pasuk Zion to the end of the Mizmar. So this is an incredible, awesome. We learned today over here on this Pasuk, the Mitzudos, Yaakov of Esav and Lavan. There's a lot of depth in that. Rashi, who learns that this everything here was said only by David. It was said only, the whole thing is what David said. When did David say this? David said this when he was in Sakana. I'm sorry. Rashi says that this was said by a different battle. There was some battle, it was the Milchemes Mitzvah. We have no idea which battle this was. There was some event where there was a Milchemes Mitzvah, and the whole Klal Yisrael went to fight. Afilu Kala Michupasa. And where is David? He's the only one that's not fighting. Why? They tied him up in chains. Shalshalas Shalbarzel. In solitary confinement, tell you're not going nowhere because you're the king and we need you and we don't want you to go be in Sakana. It's your fault, David. If in the last battle you wouldn't have messed up and almost died, we'll let you fight this battle. But we see you losing it. you're losing your edge. So therefore, you're not going to battle. So David said, listen, if I'm not going to go to battle, the very least, let me be mispalel for the soldiers. So Toichachas Musar, every single day when you say this Mizmar, to Davin for the Chayolim, who put their lives on the line so we can walk down on Avenue M with our nose up in the air. And then comes the third shot, the Malbim, and the Malbim says, no, this was the battle where David lost his edge, where David lost it. And what's the battle? The battle is when David sends a message, SOS, I'm in grave danger. Send for me help. And they send help. In the meantime, in the command center, what do? We're in a lot of trouble. Let's pray for David. And then comes back a message. David is A-OK. He has survived. He's in good pace. He survived. The next part of the Mizmah, they sing Shira that David is alive. And then they give a command. Once you're there already, kill the enemy. Defeat the enemy. Message comes back, mission is a success. And then comes part 3 of the Mizmah where they go and they erupt in Shirat Hashem for the success. That's what we say every single day. 3 things to think about, the Mitzudos, Rashi, and the Malbim. Okay, we'll take a short break, and we'll learn a little Chumash Shabbos HaGadol today, and Shabbos in 60 seconds, we will resume.
Today is the Yahrzeit of God.